Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschachade Sitarane Omangyanam Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyebacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So what I'm presenting you today is part of a work in progress. It may take me many lifetimes, actually, because the more I'm finding out about Srila Prabhupada, the more there is to know. There doesn't seem to be any limit. So I was assigned some time ago by the GBC, and part of our preparing ISKCON for the future, to talk about, to elucidate the position of Srila Prabhupada. So I wrote a fairly short statement about what it means. Because, let me just back up. Prabhupada, early on, introduced not only the same, he founded ISKCON, but then he also, after that, introduced the idea that he was the founder acharya of ISKCON. First, just acharya, but then founder acharya. And quite insisted on it very heavily when people left it out in the beginning. Some books were printed and somehow it was eliminated. He suspected there was some conspiracy, some godbrother who was envious or didn't want him to be called founder acharya. He was just acharya. And then he made a statement that every ISKCON document, letterhead, stationery, signs, should also have his full, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder acharya, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, very much insisted on it. So in my paper, I wrote this short statement, and then the GBC asked me to provide a commentary. So I thought, oh, this will be easy. So then I began to look up, where did this term, founder acharya, come from? I assumed it was a regular statement. But I looked up the places that were quoted about founder acharya, and it was not exactly like that. It was Adi Guru, Adi Acharya, but no founder acharya. So I began to wonder where this came from. So I had some documents. Now, unfortunately, when I got a PhD, it was not in Indian studies. So my foreign languages were German and French. But so I have no little sense Sanskrit, but no Bengali. So I couldn't. My access to the background was through some English language works of the Gaudiya Math. Principally two. First is The Harmonist. That was in 1927, the magazine that they were publishing called Sajjana Toshini, which had been started by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was changed to an English language periodical called The Harmonist. They described a rough translation of Harmonist as a rough translation of Sajjana Toshini. So that was one thing. I was able managed to find a reproduction of almost all the issues of The Harmonist. And then the other source of information is the book called Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which was written by also The two people involved in this, the editor of the Harmonist, official editor, was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but the de facto editor was Nishikant Sanyal. His initiated name, he was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was Narayan Das, but Bhaktisiddhanta later gave him the name or the title Bhakti Sudhakar. And he was a professor of history at Ravenshaw College in Cuttack, very, very accomplished in English language. And so he was the major, they worked very close together in English language preaching. And so they started the Harmonist. He was the main writer for the Harmonist. Actually, Prabhupada in one letter refers to him as the editor because he was the one who was the main worker, although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was officially the editor. People say, it's said that sometimes they wrote articles in each other's names, and some people say that actually the English language Brahma Samhita, which Bhaktisiddhanta's name is on, was actually mostly done by Professor Sanyal. So they started the Harmonist. They changed the Harmonist. They started the Harmonist. They changed the Sajjana Toshni to English language Harmonist in 1927 because, as they expressly state, they want to now address the whole world. They were preparing for preaching in the West. So sometime before that, they started writing in English. I want you to notice something. Before Prabhupada came to the West in 1944, he started an English language periodical called Back to Godhead. It's very interesting to discover how carefully, actually, Srila Prabhupada followed in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I've come to regard the Gaudiya Math as the beta test version of ISKCON. That Prabhupada followed very exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta did, but he made a few little adjustments so it would continue. We'll come back to that later. Then the other literary work was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So in 1933, they sent preachers to England. Ban Maharaj was the front man, the one that Prabhupada refers to as Old Tirtha Maharaj, went with him, also a sannyasi. He was actually initiated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he was the first person that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave sannyas initiation to after he took sannyas. This was Tirtha Maharaj, and the third person was Samvidananda, who was sent to enter into a PhD program at the University of London. So these were three people that went. Before they could go, they had to have an authoritative English language book. And this was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It was supposed to be three volumes. And they didn't leave until they had the first volume in hand. The second volume was never published until about 10 years ago by the Gaudiya Mission in Calcutta. Third was apparently never written. If you order it now, you'll get a revised version. So I managed to get from a university library an original copy, which I scanned, so I could see what was actually there. And one thing you see when you see the original copy of this book in 1933, it was amazing that was produced in India in 1933. It was such a first-class job. very high quality paper, high quality printing, high quality binding, and impeccably, flawlessly edited. Not a typographical error in the whole thing. They obviously put a huge amount of work into it. And it is not an easy book to understand. It's written for a very educated, elevated, sophisticated audience. The Gaudiya Math had the idea that they were going to preach to the most educated, enlightened people of England and the West. So they wanted to impress everybody. So they took care. So these are my sources. So I was wanting to find out how the word Foundaracharya, where it came from, and how it was used in the Gaudiya Math. My first shocking discovery, to me a shock, was that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never had that title. Prabhupada has referred to him in the past as the Foundaracharya, but it's all retroactive. His title, ultimately, first he was president. President of the Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha. That was his title. That's where he wrote the preface to the Sanyal's book, but he wrote the preface, and so his name is there, and that's what it says, President Sri Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he was also called Acharya, but Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, like that, not specific. Toward that, later on, they were kind of joined together, and he had President Acharya, but was not Founder Acharya. To say that he was never titled Founder Acharya, I had to look through every page of the Harmonist to see one place it occurred. It doesn't. Where I found Founder Acharya was in the book that Sanyal wrote. By the way, he wrote that very closely together with Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta read every page of it and made many suggestions, and they went back and forth. It was in effect a collaboration. But I think they really wanted to have a professor of history's name on the title page. And he did most of the direct writing. But Prabhupada described this when somebody found a copy, one of the early devotees found a copy in New York. Prabhupada described it. He wrote a letter in March of 67. He said, "I'm glad to learn to Brahmananda Swami, Brahmananda Das, I'm glad to learn that Donald has purchased Professor Sanyal's book, Krishna Chaitanya. Late Professor N.K. Sanyal was my godbrother, and his book, Krishna Chaitanya, is approved and authorized, authoritative. Keep it very carefully, and we may publish in Back to Godhead some articles from the book. It will help us a great deal because my spiritual master has given his approval to this book. Please keep it carefully. When I return, I shall see to it." So he was glad to see it, and I think they published something, but the English is too complicated for Americans, mostly. But anyway, so he appreciated the book. So this, before you get to Lord Chaitanya, it's really a summary of Chaitanya Leela, but there's almost 175 pages of introductory prefatory material, which includes what's called a history of theism. There's a history of atheism and a history of theism. Remember, Professor Sanyal is a professor of history, so he's interested in the. And it's really all over the whole world, but in India, atheism means Buddhism and Shankaracharya, aside from other things, mainly focus. And when they go to the history of theism, they mean Vaishnavism. So in there, we find the title Founder Acharya. This very specific, if you think of it, it's a little peculiar to have a hyphenated title. One word, English, founder. Second word, Sanskrit, Acharya, with a hyphen in the middle. It's an English-Sanskrit hybrid title. But that's where it is. It's in this book. So I'll show you. This was a flagship book for the Gaudiya Mutt, the introduction of the whole tradition of Vaishnavism to England from an authority, not just some mundane scholar. So you see in the table of contents, there's what they call an analytical table of contents. Chapter 7, the founder acharyas, and then a little summary. The systems of Sri Vishnu Swami, Sri Nim Aditya, Sri Ramanuja, and Sri Madhva mark the revival of Vaishnavism traceable to the prehistoric records. So, prehistory. He's a historian and goes back to, the prehistory. Well, I'll see what he does. They embody the reverential worship of Vishnu. Their second value consists in being an uncompromising protest against the opinions of the speculative creeds. Read Shankaracharya, Buddhism, and other things. In their Vedanta commentaries, the founder acharyas defeat these other interpretations of Vedanta. Their spiritual synthesis, although sound, is incomplete. Spiritual synthesis means Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita. So they're very interesting in here how he says. So then he explains the original prehistoric teachers, the people who begin these sampradayas, he calls original prehistoric teachers. So he says the four communities, sampradaya, of the Iron Age are connected with the ancient times by their recognition of the ulterior authority, the earlier authority, of the eternal ancient teachers, namely Lakshmi, Brahma, Rudra, and the four sunas, Chatushana, respectively. The four founder acharyas of the Iron Age profess to preach the views of those original teachers of the religion. So that each sampradaya has a pair of members distinguished above all over. The first personage in each pair is the eternal ancient teachers, or he calls them the original prehistoric teachers. The second member of the pair are the founder acharyas, these mentors who revive and reform the community in Kali Yuga and endow it with their signature style of thought and action. So as Sanyal uses it, he restricts the term. It's like a technical historical term for these four eminent historical persons. And so, that's who the term is for, right? So, and Bhaktisiddhanta doesn't have this title. So I'm wondering, what's going on here? But then in the pages of the Gaudiya Mutt, I found a couple of places where articles written by Sanyal, one of them has his name, the other is just a general editorial article, where the term founder acharya is used to refer to Bhaktisiddhanta. It refers to the Gaudiya Mutt. But again, it's not a title in front of his name. It's sort of sneaking up, kind of subtly introducing Bhaktisiddhanta as if he were a founder acharya. But as I said, Bhaktisiddhanta never takes the title. So this Gaudiya Mutt, there's an article in the Gaudiya Mutt in the 1930 issue of The Harmonist. three installments, and its publication overlaps the November inauguration in that year of the just completed palatial temple that was called Sri Gaudiya Math in Bagh Bazar, Calcutta. And when the title, the Gaudiya Math, it refers to that temple, that building. And it was very important for them because this Gaudiya Math temple in Calcutta was their headquarters for world preaching. At that time, Calcutta was a world city. It was the headquarters of the British Raj for the East, for India, Burma, Thailand, all of those places. This was their headquarters city. And Bhakti Siddhanta very much appreciated that fact that they were able to get this temple, because later he had some misgivings, famously, about this temple. But he had a disciple, Jagabandhu Bhakti Rajna, who was a businessman, who not only funded the building of this temple, but actually oversaw the construction. And that issue has his picture in the front, Jagabandhu's picture. And after his disappearance, Bhakti Siddhanta every year had a memorial service in his order, in his honor. So that's how important this was to them. So when I read the Gaudiya Math, I recognized something I had learned from my religious studies. It presents an essay in Gaudiya Vaishnava ecclesiology. Now, ecclesiology is not an ISKCON word. You won't find it in Prabhupada's works anywhere. But it's a branch of theology. The word ecclesia comes from the Greek. In ancient Greek, ecclesia means assembly. When all the Athenian citizens would meet together, that was called the ecclesia. And then when Christianity came, it grew up in the Greek-speaking region of the Roman Empire. It took that word for church and became the word for church after Christianity. So we have words in English like ecclesiastical and so on. So there's also a branch of theology called ecclesiology. What is the spiritual function and meaning of the church? How does it save? How does the church in the world relate to God? How does it deliver salvation to the rest of the world? And so on. So actually, what we have in these essays by Sanyal is a Gaudiya Vaishnava ecclesiology. What is the Gaudiya mission? How does it work? How does it save? And at the basis of this is the idea of a tree. The Gaudiya Math is like a tree with limbs and branches that extend all over the world. Now that metaphor we recognize from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, the desire tree of devotional service, where Lord Chaitanya is represented as a malakar, the gardener, who's grown this tree and it's spreading its branches, and who will help me pick the fruit? You remember that? So he's using this tree. So the Gaudiya Math is a manifestation of that tree. And they understood that the Gaudiya Math was planted and rooted and watered in Navadvip by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because they all knew that beginning in 1905 and going up to 1914, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sat there in Mayapur pretty much permanently for a long period of time with a vow to chant a billion names. Was it a billion or something? He chanted 192 rounds a day. Yes, to chant a billion names. So he was chanting 192 rounds a day. at this place, 1905 to 1914, where that temple is today, you see the Sri Chaitanya Math. It was in that place, down the road from the yoga pit. Huh? And that day, in 1914, when he finished, he took sannyas there. And the same day that he took sannyas, he established the Sri Chaitanya Math. That they insisted that the Sri Chaitanya Math in Mayapur is the parent math of the Gaudiya Math. In the way they are saying that this is the beginning, and then that Gaudiya Math branches out into the Chaitanya Math branches out into the world, into the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta. First in the number one Uthaldingi Road in Calcutta, and then later on. So the Gaudiya Math is seen, I don't have so much time, but in the very first issue of The Harmonist, they describe how the Gaudiya Math has grown all over India, like a tree sending out branches everywhere. And they mention in 1927, this principal branch is the Sri Chaitanya Math, which is rooted, the root implanted in the soil of the advent of Sriman Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. So they had this image that of this temple in Mayapur. Although the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta was its headquarters for preaching, they wanted to stress that the Sri Chaitanya Math is the root. So they say, he says here, the Gaudiya Math is the principal branch of the Sri Chaitanya Math in Mayapur. The distinction between the Gaudiya Math, that is to say in Calcutta, and Sri Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, is all analogous to that between one lamp lighted by another. We know where that example comes from. Deepa-jeva, you know, like one lamp, right? That means it's spiritual. The Gaudiya Math is the expansion of the Chaitanya Math in a visible form into the heart of the world. Calcutta is the world. Mayapur is not the world. He says this. Sri Chaitanya Math is eternally located as the original source, even when it is manifested to the view of the people of this world in the transcendental environment of the eternal abode of the divinity. In other words, as explained here, Mayapur is the descended spiritual world. They say it's Swaita Dweep, the white island of the scriptures. So this Sri Chaitanya Math here, that you see here, is actually in the spiritual world. And then the rest of everywhere else is the material world, like Calcutta, New York, wherever, you know. Then he says, I'm quoting from the article, the activities of the Gaudiya Math in Calcutta and of the other sister branches, notice branch maths, the tree analogy is there, are, however, essentially identical with those of Sri Chaitanya Math and are categorically different from those from the ordinary activities of this world. So here he has this picture of this spiritual mat in the spiritual world manifested in Mayapur. Why it's in Mayapur? Not because, explained later, because Chaitanya appeared there, because Mayapur is the spiritual world. It manifests in the material world, right? And that temple you see there is the same temple that's in the spiritual world. So this mat is transcendent. It has the same qualities as the Lord himself, as his expansions and sub-expansions are none different. So the various branch mats are identical with the original and with each other also. Then, having explained that, here's this sentence that occurs in this article. The Gaudiya Math is also identical with its founder, Acharya. Small f, capital A, and not a hyphen. But there it sneaks in, huh? It's a little subtly, with its founder, Acharya. And now it explains how the founder, Acharya, is there. The associates, followers, an abode of his divine grace, capital letters on the beginning, his divine grace, are limbs of himself. None of them claim to be anything but a fully subordinate limb of this single individual. This unconditional, causeless, spontaneous submission to the head is found to be not only compatible with, but absolutely necessary for the fullest freedom of initiative of the subordinate limbs. So there you see, here where the title, the name Foundacharya is used with reference to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And explaining the relationship of him, this Acharya, with his institution, and also with the members of the institution. Here he is explicitly the founder Acharya. So under those conditions, where it's this harmonious whole, the institution are none different from his founder Acharya, and all the members are his limbs. And then he describes a little the next installment. All activities of the Gaudiya Math emanate from his divine grace, Paramahamsa Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the spiritual successor of Sri Rupa Goswami. The reality of the whole activity of the Gaudiya Math depends upon the initiative of the Acharya. The Acharya dwells eternally with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya in his transcendental abode in Sridhar Mayapur, white island of the scriptures. From there the Acharya manifests his appearance on the mundane plane for the redemption of souls in the grip of the deluding energy and conferring upon them loving devotion to the feet of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. The offshoots of the Sri Chaitanya Math are extensions of the center of the bestowal of grace for the benefit of souls in all parts of the world. The recognition of the connection with Sridhar Mayapur is vital for realizing the true nature of the Gaudiya Math and the grace of the Acharya. So, there it is. So the other thing I realized, this explained to me, the temple of the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur that Prabhupada built. Not only where Founder Acharya comes from, but why is that temple there? Because Prabhupada immediately, as he got a foothold in the West and took the title Founder Acharya, also tried to buy land in Mayapur. And as soon as he got land in Mayapur, almost right away when there was just one hut there, he had them dig a foundation and make a foundation stone for that foundation, Nandashesh foundation for that temple. He realized we had to have a temple. So now we see that the structure of ISKCON is also explained here in this article. Now, as I said, Bhakti Siddhanta never formally took the title Foundacharya. There's another article a little later on, published in 1936, actually just before the disappearance of Bhakti Siddhanta, by Sanyal, where again he describes Bhakti Siddhanta as founder Acharya. The sentence is, the Gaudiya Mutt is the instrument and counterpart of His Divine Grace Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. It lives and moves and has its being. That is from the Bible, by the way. Lives, moves, and has its being in the founder Acharya. Again, at this time he has capital F, capital A with a hyphen. He knew what he was doing. He is connecting. He is making, this puts the founder Acharya on the same level as Madhva, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka. That's what it does. But a week following these publications, Bhaktisiddhanta left this world. So, what I have to say here is, it's my own, I call it a hypothesis. I think that Bhaktisiddhanta and Sanyal were working together. Do you know that Bhaktisiddhanta was planning to go to the West? Because when Ban Maharaj went to London, they worked very hard to get a temple in London. And the Maharaj of Tripura is described in the, it's described in the Harmonist, that the first time that Ban Maharaj came back from London, he was sent to visit the Maharaj of Tripura, who had been a benefactor of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and for whom for some time Bhakti Siddhanta had worked as a kind of secretary, and was also a benefactor of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there was a long connection with the Maharaj of Tripura, that he agreed that the Ban Maharaj went there, and the Maharaja of Tripura, it was announced in the Harmonist, agreed to fund the construction of this temple in London. We're going to pay for it. They had a big donor. But then something happened, and Bhakti Siddhanta became very disappointed in Ban Maharaj. He recalled him from London, but wouldn't see him. Wouldn't give him darshan at all. Wouldn't see him. And wrote a letter to the Maharaja of Tripura not to give any money to Ban Maharaj. So something happened. There was trouble somewhere. There was fighting among the members of the Gaudiya Mutt. There was lack of harmony. It's together when everybody are limbs of the member, but when they have a separate interest, there's disharmony. And Prabhupada tells us that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world out of disappointment. He says this to us. So there was, things stopped. It stopped. But then Srila Prabhupada takes up the mission. He doesn't get any help, as he explains, from the Gaudiya Mutt. He tried working with them, but there was no cooperation. And so finally he reproduces. He starts back to Godhead magazine, 1944, in English. Before he goes to the West, he himself writes 3 volumes of literature in the English language, all by himself. He didn't have the resources at all that the Gaudiya Mutt had, and it's when it's powerful. When it was really, I mean, you get a sense from reading the Harmonist, by the way, exactly like what the Gaudiya Mutt, when it was healthy. It was quite amazing. I mean, it spread so far, and they were going to London. This going to the West was their crowning achievement, and it was going to go further. And Bhaktisiddhanta was going to go also to London, and then maybe to America. This was their plan. So things got interrupted. And maybe it was Krishna's desire. You know, 1933, the year they went, that was the year Hitler came into power in Germany. I mean, literally all hell was about to break loose, and did. You know, in the next 10 years, about 50 million people died because of war around the whole world. So maybe it was, I don't know what Krishna's plan is, but anyway, when it's over, Prabhupada comes. He's able to pick up the mission. He does the same thing. And when he finally gets to New York, he tries to buy a temple, to get a temple. And he first writes to, now the Gaudiya Math had split up. They had two different acharyas. One was at the Sri Chaitanya Math, that was Tirtha Maharaj, not the old Tirtha Maharaj, but Kunja Bihari, who was supposed to be the, according to our understanding, was supposed to be the manager under a GBC, but the GBC never went into power. So he became acharya. And then at the Calcutta temple, there was the other acharya, and on the Vasudev, there was no GBC. And they were fighting with each other. And Prabhupada writes in the commentary of Chaitanya Charitamrita, both parties became useless because they disobeyed the order of the acharya. But anyway, Prabhupada writes, he writes to him, you cannot do anything unless you have a temple here, he says. We need to have a building. And he writes to this Tirtha Maharaj, the former Kunja Babu. He says, this is a letter written in 1965 in November. November 8, 1965, he writes, I am here and see here a good field for work, but I am alone and without men and money. To start a center here, we must have our own buildings. And then he talks about the Ramakrishna mission, and that to have a building means you need $100,000, 5 lakhs of rupees at that time. Another to furnish the house, another 2 lakhs. And he says there's difficulty of exchange. Yeah, he can't get the money from India. The governor wouldn't let currency out at that time. And so there's difficulty of exchange, and I think unless you have some special arrangement to starting a branch of Chaitanya Math, transfer of money may be difficult. But you can do it. He says, for me it will take a long time, but for you it is easy. The Calcutta Mawaris are in your hands by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. He says, if you agree, then take it for granted that I am one of the workers of Sri Mayapur Chaitanya Math. The Prabhupada was willing to come under their umbrella, he says. Once center started, I shall be able to start many others also. So here is a chance of cooperation between us, and I shall be glad to know if you are ready for this cooperation. I came here to study the situation. I find it very nice, and if you are also agreeable to cooperate with it, it will be very nice by the will of Srila Prabhupada. If you agree, then take it for granted that I am one of the workers of Sri Mayapur Chaitanya Math. I have no ambition for becoming the proprietor of any math or mandir, but I want working facility. I am working day and night for my Bhagavatam publication, and I need centers in the Western countries. Then he goes on, I can start other centers and so on. So this was his plea for cooperation. By the way, I found this use of the word cooperation, I checked it out. How does Prabhupada use this word? You find it all over. And one place he says, cooperation is bhakti. To work together with Krishna and with the devotees, that's Sankirtan, is the essence of it. So he says, if you agree, I'll be a member of the Gaudiya Math. They didn't agree. He was disappointed. He got no help. In fact, he said, I got nothing but opposition. When he tried to get land in Mayapur, he got opposition. He got trouble. So this, for this reason, Prabhupada found it necessary to start over again. But so therefore he took this title, Founder Acharya. But I want you to understand that when he did this, also we have to look at his prana mantra that he introduced to us. What's his name in that prana mantra? Saraswata Devi. He used Bhakti Siddhanta's name. He is simply Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in another form, as his son or servant who represents and is therefore none different in a special way. So in this way, he is the founder Acharya. It does put him on the same level as Ramanuja and so on. He doesn't do this to supersede Bhaktisiddhanta, but to fulfill him, to manifest what he had started in this way. So this is the meaning, and this temple in Mayapur, it is also that temple where is in the spiritual world. By Krishna's arrangement, it is exactly next to Prabhupada's samadhi. We were planning for another place. That didn't work out. Right in the same place where he first put that, they haven't found it yet, but Ananda Shesh. And what is that temple of the Vedic planetarium tell us? What does it show us? That we see this universe which shows us the path back to Godhead. It's the Bhagavatam cosmos, right? But it's a map. If it's also the center of ISKCON, all the branch temples, they go to the center. People are trained to serve there. And when you go there, what do you see? How to go out. How to ascend to the spiritual world. So that's what this temple shows us. The path back to Godhead. That universe that is shown, you see, the universe that we see with our mundane vision is the universe that is disconnected with God. So all they see is nothingness and a little spark of life. We don't know where it comes from. Somehow it comes out of nothing. That's the cosmology, right? Some anomaly. This little spark of consciousness, this little spark of consciousness. Otherwise, nothing is there. But because they have separated Krishna from Krishna's energy, so they don't see Krishna, neither do they see Krishna's energy. They are together. This is Achincha Beda Beda Tattva. That's the philosophy that harmonizes and completes the teachings of the four founder acharyas. You see, we are on a higher level. We don't have a prehistoric revelation. Our revelation happened just 500 years ago with Chaitanya. Chaitanya came again. And again, the original receivers of this were like the six Goswamis, not Chatushana, but Shad Goswamis. This again is here. And so then also we find out the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it falls into disarray and disrepair. But it has been renovated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and they are preparing it to spread all over the world. Prabhupada is the one who actually delivers it all over the world. You see, the original four founder acharyas, they spread it all over India and defeated Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. But now Nirvishesha and Shunyavadi is all over the world. When Prabhupada gets to New York, the Ramakrishna Mission is already there, waiting for him. He meets Swami Nikalananda, the head of the mission, who was, by the way, my first Hinduism teacher in the university before I met the devotees. So I knew these people. So when Prabhupada comes, he is now going all over the world. He is more than Ramanuja, more than Vishnu. So I have no disrespect to the great Acharyas, but the scope is bigger now. Because we are now working under Lord Chaitanya. He took their teachings, and with Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, completed them and unified them. Sanyal says in the beginning, the teachings are sound but not complete. So it's completed. And Prabhupada, his genius, he's not like them that he writes a Vedanta commentary exactly, but he commentates on the Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on the commentary, of the author's own commentary. So he does that. But his gift, here's a Achincha Beda Tattva, in Prabhupada's words, nothing is different from Krishna, yet Krishna is different from everything. This is in the last purport in Bhagavad Gita. That's it. Nothing is different from Krishna, yet Krishna is different from everything. So this universe, to see this universe as it really is, we have to see it that way. It is not different from Krishna, yet it is not Krishna. That universe is the universe we see in Bhagavatam. These people who see separately from Krishna, they're only looking through a pinhole at the whole room. They can't see it. So this teaching, to teach Achincha Beda Veda Tattva, that's what that temple teaches. That's what the Bhaktisiddhanta's Chaitanya Mahat also taught something, because it had the four acharyas at the four corners. It taught something. So Prabhupada is also teaching in that temple. This is the world as it is when it is connected with God, and you are connected with God. And this is the way, when we're connected, we find this way, the universe, to go back home, back to Godhead. So this is what it means to say that Prabhupada is found acharya. Whether you understand what he's doing, it's interesting that it takes some time. You know, when somebody like Prabhupada comes, it takes some time. You take in what he says, but you have to grow up a little bit and digest it. And I'm starting to see that we're just learning what Prabhupada is. We have to see, and we couldn't understand, why is Prabhupada making this world headquarters in the sugarcane field? But now we understand. So that's just the beginning, the position of Srila Prabhupada, what it means when he says he is the founder acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which, by the way, also can be translated as Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha. Because in the Gaudiya Math, when they describe Vishwa, the meaning of Vishwa Vaishnava Raj, that's a name of Lord Chaitanya. Vishwa Vaishnava Raj, he is the king of the Vaishnavas everywhere, and then this is his Sabha. And Krishna consciousness can also mean Krishna Chaitanya. This has multiple meanings, you know. So this is also an extension of, it's also Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha. And when Prabhupada is the founder, Acharya is the one that spreads it, so far just on this planet, but we'll see where else it goes. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we have some question? We're way over time probably, huh? But if any questions or comments? This is just a sample. There's much more to this, but I'm just giving you a quick summary. Anyone? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.